Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, July 27, 2020. And I'm trying to address the question, you know, when people ask, those who are genuinely curious and courageous enough to ask, and when we can actually sit down and have a conversation, because Lord knows it's become almost impossible, and that's not by accident, for people to communicate with one another and to have the attention span and to have the patience and the grace and the empathy to try to entertain a different perspective. You know, it's real interesting. Stephen Covey's been gone for about 8 years now, and his work, man, you know, it was sort of interesting. He was a very, I think he was, I could, you know, I'm not on board with the Mormon thing, obviously, but the research that he did, talking about, you know, researching hundreds of books around the turn of the 20th century and the transition from the character ethic to the personality ethic, as he called it, from, you know, right and wrong and those kinds of things, the morals of Aesop's fables and those kinds of things, there is a clear distinction. And you just do what's right, and it's that simple. And the transition over time, even into media and entertainment, to condition people into this new thing called the personality ethic and the gray area of, well, life, basically. You know, everything is a gray area now, they say. And so you have these personality ethic tips, tricks, and techniques to basically manipulate people. Beginning most notably with Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's the, you know, the Bible of that movement, essentially. And so Stephen Covey was giving us, I think, some tools to try to bridge the gap, maybe harken back to a bygone era, but really to avoid catastrophic destruction and failure. Because if we can't communicate with one another, then eventually things will break down utterly. And we'll have chaos, and some people want chaos. That's the old esoteric mantra, ordo ab chao, order out of chaos. So, you know, if you want a new order, maybe you might want to engineer some chaos. And so I just think it's interesting. You know, you look at some of these things, him talking about the young lady and the old lady, and which is it? Well, if you give the same picture, you know, you show two groups, separate pictures. One is clearly the old lady, one is clearly the young lady. This shapes their perception. Then you give them the picture that has both represented in it, and you say, you know, which is this? You know, old lady, young lady, and they say, oh my goodness, how can you not see? Clearly it's this. The other person says, oh, what's wrong with you? Clearly it's that. And so, you know, he gives us the tools to say, hold on a minute, let me listen to understand what you're saying. Let me be patient. Let me be empathic so that I set aside my own views for a moment to see what you're saying. I humble myself, essentially, and I'm quiet. And that's not easy, and it's much, much less easy. It's much more difficult today, the way that things have been engineered. You know, again, the neoteny, the juvenilia, the narcissism, the attention span depletion and diminution. Very difficult. People are not sitting around having deeply philosophical, intellectual conversations that I'm aware of. There's a lot of surface level chat and chatter, and a lot of it to me is just Skinnerian operant conditioning that is being reinforced, essentially. A bunch of Skinner bots running around. That's a sort of a departure. I digress. So I'm trying to encapsulate a conversation when someone asks genuinely, hey, so what do you mean? What's happening? You know, to put on a mask is an encroachment on my constitutional rights. What do you mean by that? My answer would be, first, they're not constitutional rights. They are rights enumerated, enshrined in the Constitution, but the enumeration of them is not to be construed as limiting others. In other words, the rights enumerated are including, how do you say that? These are some. And as the Ninth and Tenth Amendment put it, the enumeration of the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. That's the Ninth Amendment. And the Tenth, the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, or reserved to the states respectively or to the people. So it's, the phrase is including but not limited to, I suppose you could say. So there are rights enumerated, and they're not enumerated in the Constitution. The powers of government are enumerated in the Constitution, and government is supposed to be strictly confined to those limits. Bind them down with the chains of the Constitution, as Thomas Jefferson put it in the his draft of the Kentucky Resolutions. So that's the concept, first of all, and that's an important distinction. Because if it's constitutional rights, then what man can give, man can take away. But beyond that, it's a big discussion. And someone who says, how does this encroach? I would say, first, we have to address your point of view. You probably believe that government is operating in our best interest, correct? And you probably believe that interests allegedly on the periphery of government are operating in our best interests. But there's strong evidence to suggest otherwise, you know, and a lot of it you might call anecdotal at this point. But what else do we have when, you know, I mean, is a bank robber just going to come out and openly say, I'm robbing this bank, here I go, look at me, I'm robbing this bank, and then run out and say, I robbed that bank. Look at me, I robbed that bank. That is not how crime works. Criminals do not behave in that way. So can we admit, based on history, I mean, I have R.J. Rummel's book, Death by Government, as an example. Can we admit where he coined the term democide? Death by Government, Genocide and Mass Murder by R.J. Rummel, published back in 1994. I believe his number was about 265 million people, and as one person put it, killed by government, death by government, was the leading cause of unnatural death in the 20th century, is the point. And, you know, we have a certain perspective in this society, and as some folks have noted, a government that murders unborn children by the millions, or that condones it, essentially, underwrites it, funds it, should probably not be in charge of healthcare. And this thing, the system that we call medicine these days, has its roots in the Rockefeller Foundation and the Rockefeller family, who were hardcore eugenicists. And we have an ugly history of that in this country. And, you know, the contemporary discussion of that, again, is folks like Bill Gates saying, well, you know, The last 3 months of life are very expensive. And so you could pay for the last 3 months of life, or you could pay for these 10 teachers. That's eugenics. And he said, but you know, that's called a death panel, and we can't have that discussion. Laughingly, he says. But my question is, how do you know when the last 3 months of life are? Who's deciding that? And these people who we might call technocrats are more than happy and willing to play God. So if you ask someone like Bill Gates, for example, when the last 3 months of life are, I'm sure he would give you an answer. And it would be something that would fit his agenda. I dare say it would not be empathic. It might be couched in opaque language that might come across as seemingly empathic, but I don't think it genuinely would be. So we have to reconcile those things. For the people who would say, well, how can you say those things about Bill Gates? Because, I mean, look at all the wonderful things he's done. I would say, well, yeah, but India seems to think otherwise. Africa seems to think otherwise, by and large. You have some leaders that I think have probably benefited handsomely from some things. And there are other weird questions to ask. You know, someone like that, as some folks have pointed out, who palled around with Jeffrey Epstein and then lied about it, and had a houseboy who had thousands of pieces of child pornography in his possession while he was Bill Gates' houseboy. That's probably not someone you want in charge of child anything. Like, you know, education, for example. A person who was personally involved in a lawsuit brought by former Microsoft employees for forcing them to watch torture and pornography. This is probably not a person that you want in charge of child education. We have to come to some middle ground, at least, to not have a Pollyanna view of government. People are in government. People are fallible. There are these other mechanisms that most people don't understand. Speaking of the administrative era, you know, the progressive era, the early 20th century progressive era, and the administration of government, they said, is agnostic. By the mid-20th century, just as another milestone, these people were saying that, well, when they passed the Administrative Procedure Act in 1946, Senator Pat McCarran said on the Senate floor, we have created a fourth branch, administrative in nature. He said, so we have, by the Constitution, the executive, legislative, and judicial, and now the administrative. And he said, this bill, Senate Bill 7, which became the Administrative Procedure Act, is a bill of rights for the hundreds of thousands of Americans whose affairs are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. And things have been moving in a very different direction since then, so much so that by 2015, Peter Thiel, who is a Bilderberg Steering Committee member, a very powerful and influential guy, you know, spent time at Sullivan and Cromwell, hardcore technocrat, I would say. A very well-informed, very intelligent person, very high-placed person, said in his interview with Tyler Cohen, Conversations with Tyler is what they're called, that to call America a democracy or constitutional republic is disingenuous. He said America is dominated by these very unelected technocratic agencies. And what does that mean? Could we, if you have to, you have to understand, you have to study that a little bit and understand what that means. And you come to the realization that the possibility exists that, you know, again, like the Gillens and Page study from around the same era, 2014, actually, Martin Gillens, Benjamin Page, testing theories of American politics, elites, interest groups, and average citizens. As they, you know, as they stated in their summary, the conclusion they came to after analyzing 20 years of data, multivariate analysis indicates that economic elites and organized groups representing business interests, you mean fascism meets technocracy, have substantial independent impacts on U.S. government policy, while average citizens and mass-based interest groups have little or no independent influence. Let me give you a practical example of what I'm talking about. I know in one state in particular where there are people crusading to have local grassroots folks, it's genuinely grassroots, crusading to have the governor recalled. And I think they're up to a few thousand signatures now. But that's a paltry, that seems to reinforce the conclusion Martin Gillens and Benjamin Page came to. Multivariate analysis indicates that economic elites and organized groups representing business interests have substantial independent impacts on U.S. government policy, while average citizens and mass-based interest groups have little or no independent influence. These people are crusading. They're genuinely going out, you know, to the grocery stores with the clipboards and stuff. Sir, ma'am, would you please sign this petition to recall the governor? He's acting injuriously to his constituency. And yet, without the influence of organized groups representing business interests, you know, without, I don't know, say, you know, help from the Open Society Foundation Network, or, you know, think tanky academia kind of influence, or, you know, management firms helping, it doesn't seem to get much traction. How many people do you know that have ever proposed legislation? How many of those proposed pieces of legislation introduced at the grassroots level, not cooked up in some think tank, something like ALEC, you know, the American Legislative Exchange Council or something like, or even in a think tanky group that gets pushed along? You know, I mentioned that soundbite from Angus, what's his name? Not Angus Deaton, the other one. Angus Bergen. Imagining a new moral economy. Remember he said, you know, imagining a new moral economy back in April. You want to be able to give people an off-the-shelf kind of solution. You know, I would remind you that, you know, the time for when you have the crisis, you know, the work to do the reimagining, he said, needs to happen before a crisis takes place. And, you know, he gave some historical precedents for that. And 9/11 is a good one. Because as I've pointed out, you know, DHS was erected like a blow-up jumpy castle immediately after September 11. It was already going into place in the early weeks of October. Tom Ridge was appointed DHS secretary. But there was that book the Rand Corporation published, right? Preparing the U.S. Army for Homeland Security in April of 2001. So the imagining came before the event, as Angus Bergen pointed out. Stick around, I'll be right back.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This issue that I spent so long on can't be overstated. You know, a person's perspective, I think this is where it all begins. And this is why so many conversations are so difficult, because people have this view and it's nothing new. Again, I think, you know, even in our own history, we have this example. John Adams tells us, you know, what do we mean by the American Revolution? And this is what I've been talking about for a long time. If people could see, oh, wait, you know, I mean, I'll give you a clue for those who ask the question, you know, how can you say this isn't just for our health and our benefit? It is a fact that, you know, the experts agree, so to speak. We're following the emergency. I'm being a little facetious, but not entirely. that the masks of all varieties over the course of time create a moist, you know, there's no denying that if you wear a mask for an extended period of time, it creates moisture buildup, which is a great place to gather this so-called virus, if that's the thing that we're looking at. Experts agree. Now, we've heard, you know, it's a cliche to say that sunlight is a great antiseptic, right? We know that throughout the summer, it's not the flu season because the sun's out, people are getting vitamin D. The hot, dry, sunny climate is not a place where things like this coronavirus thrive. So isn't it curious timing that now in the peak of summer, we're getting the mask mandates? What do you want to bet they go away when you don't need that anymore? It's a way to keep people sick or get people sick. Isn't that curious? Why not tell people to go outside? Go outside. You know, maybe if you think there's something to the antisocial distancing, you tell them to keep their distance or whatever. But even that is absurd in my opinion. It's a way to, I think there's a psychological element to that. And, you know, people have talked about facial recognition and those things, but all of that is predicated on this different worldview. Now, with that in mind, first, you know, to understand, again, you know, these things happen and people are cooperating and making plans and moving forward on plans. Most people don't understand how this works. And again, to shine a bright light on this, Angus Bergen, go ahead, please.
Conditions under which economic crises or other kind of societal crises like the ones that we're in right now lead to a reimagining of a different kind of socioeconomic structure.
Yeah, well, I mean, one point I'd like to emphasize is that it's a bit of a misnomer to think that crises lead to a reimagining. A lot of the work to do the reimagining needs to happen before a crisis takes place, right? And so if you look at any of these moments, whether the 1930s, the 1970s, where we can think of sort of epochal shifts in the way that people address issues of political economy, a lot of the underlying work for that transformation happened within theoretical communities, often decades before a crisis came to pass where they came to light and were enacted into policy. And so, you know, I take that as one of the central missions of the work that Margaret has been doing and the work that Anne-Marie is doing is trying to take the ideas that are out there, bring them together, get people speaking to each other, and then make them accessible to policymakers so that when a crisis like the one we're in right now emerges, it becomes newly possible for people not to have to reinvent the wheel, but rather just reach for ideas that are available on the shelf to experiment with possible solutions.
Great.
Reach for ideas on the shelf and experiment. But who put those ideas on the shelf? Policymakers reach for ideas on the shelf. Who put those ideas on the shelf? Is it possible that, you know, as I think it was President Garfield who talked about the ability for powerful, you know, listen, here's another example. George Soros accused of crashing the British pound single-handedly. Is that not power and influence? Someone who could wield that kind of power and influence, you know, might someone like that with that much power and influence, make grants to academia, try to get some of these policies written through think tanky academic channels or outlets, and then maybe influence circumstances so that those things could come together, the crisis and the reimagining together? Possibility certainly exists, doesn't it? And you and I know historically that has borne out in America. Most people don't realize that, though. Hopefully that's enough on that. We'll go to the phones when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel.
Welcome back. Running free, you know. That's a good version. Nina Simone was a good version too. There's a lot to say about this. You know, getting your mind around the possibility. Most people, I would say, the way I would put it, most people labor under the delusion that government operates in your best interest, my best interest. And there's so much evidence to the contrary. There's really, and paltry, if any, evidence to support that false impression. I mean, you go back to Edward Bernays in 1928, for example. We'll go to the phones in a second. But Bernays wrote in 1928 in Propaganda, the Conscious and Intelligent. Remember, this is the guy who later wrote The Engineering of Consent. Just ponder on that from The Engineering of Consent. This is not a guy who was guessing. This is not a guy who was waxing philosophical or theoretical. This was a man who was employed by governments, by the military, by large multinational corporations like Johnson & Johnson to do what he talked about doing and to infuse Uncle Sigmund Freud's work with Madison Avenue marketing, essentially. And so Bernays wrote in 1928, nearly 100 years ago, The Conscious, these are the opening words of his book, The Conscious and Intelligent Manipulation of the Organized Habits and Opinions of the Masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism, not could or might or it's just an assumptive phrase, those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. There you go. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. And then, you know, the explainer. This is a logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. Vast numbers of human beings must cooperate in this manner if they are to live together as a smoothly functioning society. But it's not exactly cooperation, is it? You think of, I mean, this reminds me of the conversation that Richard and I had, Richard in Washington, and I had a couple or a few weeks ago now, but at the end of the broadcast. But also, you know, you hear the voice of Hugo Weaving, you know, Smith in The Matrix, billions of people just living out their lives, oblivious, that kind of thing. It's not necessarily vast numbers of human beings cooperating in this manner, because manipulation and cooperation are clearly not the same thing. But then in chapter 4, he says the systematic study of mass psychology revealed to students the potentialities of invisible government of society by manipulation of the motives which actuate man in the group. Trotter and Laban, who approached the subject in a scientific manner, and Graham Wallace, Walter Lippmann, and others who continued with searching studies of the group mind, established that the group has mental characteristics distinct from those of the individual and is motivated by impulses and emotions which cannot be explained on the basis of what we know of individual psychology. So the question naturally arose, at least for bad guys, if we understand the mechanisms and motives of the group mind, is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it? And then he essentially answers the question in the next paragraph. The recent practice of propaganda has proved that it is possible. Is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it? That sounds pretty straightforward. Oh, but that's, you know, that doesn't happen anymore. Really? No, it's much worse than that. And I'll give you this one, you know, sort of anecdotal example, and then we'll go to the phones. There's just so much more you could say on this. But people, you know, because someone's in denial and because someone wants to stick their head in the sand does not mean this is not true and happening, and doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. So one glaring example is, you know, Jeff Bezos' acquisition of the Washington Post. How many hit pieces on Jeff Bezos do you think the Washington Post is going to write? How many times will the Washington Post bite the hand that feeds it? And it's a curious aside, I think, you know, that Bezos' Amazon, AWS in particular, has you know, contracts for more than $500 million with the CIA, for example, and other government ties. That's just one of the most recent. That's interesting. I think that at least leans toward fascism, isn't, if it isn't full blown. Anyway, Bezos acquiring the Washington Post, how many editors in chief could authorize articles critical of Bezos before they'd be looking for a job somewhere else, or maybe blacklisted? And for those that think, well, that never happens, go research, what was the name of the outlet? You know, people, I mean, someone like that powerful could never get away something like that. Really? Because when Hulk Hogan was, I don't know, there's that whole scandal with Peter Thiel. In 2016, Peter Thiel revealed that he funded Hulk Hogan in the Bollea v. Gawker lawsuit, which led to the bankruptcy of Gawker. So Peter Thiel single-handedly destroyed Gawker in that suit. And of course, you know, again, with his Sullivan and Cromwell background, this was probably a very calculated move. So these kinds of things happen. And people say, yeah, but, you know, there are journalists who are crit. Well, that has to get through the editor, right, first of all. But second of all, there, you know, history is littered with courageous journalists who have literally given their lives for their journalism. You know, you have most recently folks like Michael Hastings, Daphne Caruana Galizia. Historically, you have guys like Gary Webb, for example. And then, of course, in the patriot or alternative community, quote unquote, many people, and, you know, folks on the periphery somewhere, you know, and other truth tellers, obviously, but I'm thinking of Philip Marshall. What was it, a year to the day after his book was published, The Big Bamboozle, I think, was the one that did him in. And then he and his family were assassinated, and it was made to look like a murder-suicide. I was a former Air America pilot, and here's what we... Oh, no, we can't have that story come out. You know, many people have given their lives... And so that's the reality. Hopefully that's enough as just a primer on that. But that's the first place I think that the discussion begins, is people have to get their mind around that possibility. Andy in Texas, thanks for calling. Thanks for your patience. Welcome.
Well, hey, Chris. No, man. I mean, I got to tell everybody out there that If they're not listening to Chris Hinckley, they are missing out, because look, you're not telling some untruths. You're telling what is in the book. The Aldous Huxley, everything that you, holy crap, man. I really want to make this a phone call to tell people that this is the stuff right here. This guy is telling the truth. Now, having said that, we are living in a world where we're being told what we can and can't do. So we got to go back to the basics. What is the basics? The basics is we were born here. Okay, and most of us were born into this society, and so we have to abide by what our parents taught us, our teachers taught us, and all this stuff. But then there's some of us like Chris Hinckley and me, Andy, we do not believe inside that realm of thought that they've presented for us to believe in. I and I believe Chris does too, believe that we should be a free society, that we should just do what we need to do. We harm nobody and we harm nobody's property, and we should be able to do what we want to do. But then we have this organization called government. And there's a word called democide. And democide is what government does to its people. It kills people. Democide is government killing people. And so we have to stay here and we have to live through this thing. And government has rose above us. And we are the people who put government in position. And we cannot stop what government is doing right now. And because we cannot stop what government is doing right now, we have become slaves. Because government has exerted this energy over us as though as if they rule us. But each individual person on this planet was born here individually. We do not have anybody above us. There is nobody above us. And so we take what we're supposed to learn as children and growing up. We take what we're supposed to learn and we abide it to what is society going on. And I, for one, in the 50s, have no reason to abide by this government that we have been portrayed to tell us what we're supposed to be doing. I do not do that. I'm not going to do that. And simply because I am an individual. I was born here on this planet with nobody. I was given no knowledge before I was born that somebody was going to be in control of me. And so now yeah. I'm a grown adult, and I've been in control forever. Somebody's been in control of me forever. And now I finally see that I don't have to be in control by anybody. I can be myself. And now government has intruded itself on me to tell me I cannot be myself. And that is the problem with this country right now. It's that we are not allowed to be individuals. We have to be a collective. We have to do what they tell us to do.
Yeah, and it's not even just government. I mean, government is only a part of the mechanism. And so, you know, I'm reminded of the old maxim, those who tell the stories rule society. And speaking of telling the stories, Plato in the Republic mentioned, it will be for the rulers of our city then, if anyone, to use falsehood in dealing with citizen or enemy for the good of the state, no one else must do so. So he talked about the state having a monopoly on falsehood. And so, you know, I think we've seen that bear out. You know, I was thinking of Bertrand Russell, Impact of Science on Society, talking about mass psychology and, how he said, you know, the limelight and brass band are more persuasive than a speech of someone like Edmund Burke. And now we are in what has been referred to as the post-truth era, where we're less concerned with facts and truth and reality than we are with a persuasive argument. And so that's a very corrosive force. And to your point, I mean, I wouldn't condone full-blown anarchy, but I would agree with Jefferson that government which governs best governs least. And so what's happened, to your point, is that, like I was saying, you have these special interests, so to speak, and this is an established fact. This is why I mention, for example, Martin Gillen's and Benjamin Page's study testing theories of American politics and their conclusion where they said it. And we can think of practical examples like those that I gave, but you know, you have special interests that have colluded and conspired to advance their own agendas, which isn't surprising. It's what people do historically. And that encroaches on the average citizen, so to speak, you and I and everyone who's not a part of whatever special interest is represented. And so it ends up putting upon the vast majority of society. You know, we have so many examples of that in history. Just, you know, quickly, I mean, again, the administrative hijinks, but also, obviously, you know, the income tax and, you know, the IRS and all of these kinds of things that are, I would say, patently unconstitutional in its orthodoxy. So,
well, I got definitely something else to say, if you don't mind.
Oh, we have another caller on the line. We'll do that quickly. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Final segment, didn't get to everything, including the most important stuff. Andy, we got another caller, so quickly, 30 seconds. Go ahead.
All right. Hey. So, my friend, I just want to let people know, you didn't come, you're not here on this planet simply because you showed up here. You're here for a damn reason. Figure it out. Grab your Geno, whatever it is. Figure it out. You were born here for a reason.
Thanks, Andy. We got to grab you, David. Appreciate it. As always, David in Ohio, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thanks, Chris. Andy had astute and sagacious viewpoints today, and he's spot on. So give him an A+.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I just got done mowing the lawn, and I was thinking of something humorous to illustrate the absurdity of what's going on here. And I've been an avid stoogeaholic for most of my life.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And so,
me too.
I don't know if you know this one particular episode, or the audience does, but after 3 days of attempting to be dentist, a completed dental school, they were told to go out west to find work, and so the setting is in the old Wild West. This old, person comes into their office, and he's got a really bad toothache, and he needs it extracted. Well, Shep did something, Mo didn't like it, and he sputtered him around. He didn't have his glasses on, and he picked up this book, and he goes, oh, he goes, here it is, the step-by-step to help it extract the tooth. And he started reading. He goes, the first step is you varnish the lid. And so they took some varnish and took his hat off and varnished his lid, lid of his hat. And, Mo kind of shrugged his shoulders at first. He goes, you know, he's like, you know, you could tell he's like, I don't think I learned that in dental school. And then the second one is Shemp goes, then you sandpaper the chest. So they got the sandpaper out, and they started sandpapering the chest. And then Shep was reading some more, and he noticed that the book was it wasn't the proper book. And he goes to Shep, he goes, what are you reading there? And he goes, elements of carpentry. And he goes, oh, elements of carpentry. So, you know, here's the thing to illustrate this absurdity. I really think that there are, unfortunately, too many people that if you told them that they had to take a gasoline bath and to light a candle for Aviance in their bathroom, that they would do that to stop the spread of COVID-19. Thought, you know, use a little humor, hopefully, instead of absorbing it, kind of push it away.
Yeah.
And what's your take on that?
I think unfortunately, I think that, you know, is far too close to home. But, you know, who knows? Maybe, I mean, there are people, I think, trying to reach out and thoughtfully reflect, but this is a serious issue, and I'll get to the other stuff I meant to cover today, because, you know, it's very disorienting, and that's all by design, I think. So hopefully we can reach through that and have thoughtful discussions and do better by one another.
That's right.
Thanks, David. Thanks, David,
thanks a lot,
as always.
Chris. Take care now.
Yep. Much appreciated. Folks, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. And we'll catch you on the other side.
Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show, Redfield Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.